life stories, passion, career growth, and success. You're listening to Historia with your host, Kim Gonzalez.
Thank you again for tuning in to another episode of Historia. We are now at episode 3 of our segment, ESL Teaching in Focus. And today we will be having another guest. She is now in Dubai. Her name is Joanna Oligo. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Hi, Kim. Good morning and good morning from Dubai and good afternoon in the Philippines. Thank you for having me in your podcast.
Yes, I'm super excited to have you on. And now I want to start, or what I want to start for my listeners is to have you introduce yourself. Please tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you're working on today or what you're enjoying right now.
All right. So just I mentioned earlier, I just came from jogging. So at this time, it's summer vacation in the UAE. So every morning I'll go jogging or going to the beach because beach here is like 15 to 30 minutes away from the bus. So I came here in the UAE when I was 21 years old. I've been working here in the UAE for the past 5 years. And currently I am working in a British school. And I have been enjoying my life here in Dubai for the past 5 years.
Yes, that's awesome. Given that Dubai, when you say Dubai, it's a very progressive place, right? A lot of people all over the world come to that particular place to do business and enjoy life, right?
Yeah, it's all about golds, fast cars, Guinness Book of Records, highest building, and all the money of the sheikhs everywhere.
Yeah, I agree, right? You can see the car, supercars everywhere and all the riches of the world. It's all in Dubai. So now my next question is something that I ask with most of my guests. So how would you describe a day in your life? Kindly talk about your routine. You mentioned to me earlier that you are going to the gym. So aside from going to the gym, what do you usually do if you're not teaching?
Other stuff, yeah. If it's work days, I would just have same thing. So I'll wake up 5 a.m. and then our bus will pick us up, then drop off in the school. We'll work 8 to 5, not really 8 to 5, 8 to 4:30, then go home. Usually, if I have the energy, I would go for a walk around my community. Or if I don't have time, I will have a Zoom meeting for my tutor. So after working hours, I still do some tutors with my old student in the homeschooling before. But on weekdays, you would probably find me in some coffee shops, beaches, or malls in Dubai. Because here, it's not natural. So people are just building stuff where you can enjoy. So it's all about malls, natural beaches, and different hanging out spots for expats and for locals.
All right. I love your routine there. Coffee. I love coffee as well, for sure. And also man-made beaches, right? And buildings all over the place. So that's a great place to hang out. So really awesome. Really awesome. I want to go with now, I usually call this your origin story. What's interesting is that just like some of my other guests, actually, a huge percentage, 40 to 50% of my guests are graduates of the same university as me, right?
Yes.
And what's even more interesting is that we were in the same organization, right? Little Theater.
Right.
Okay. So how did you know that you're going to be a teacher one day? Is it in your blood? Is it something that you have discovered along the way? Or tell us something about it.
Backstory. So I didn't really want to be a teacher. It's just that when I was finishing high school, I didn't have any choice of what course will I take. And my cousin was like, oh, I think your personality fits for special education because I have a bubbly personality, outgoing personality, positive personality, and it really fits for children with special needs. So she said, this course will give you a lot of earning if you work in different countries or even the Philippines. It will give you an advantage because the salary is big for this course. And I was like, okay, I will try. I didn't even take any entrance exam to different university. I just took Quezon State University. And by the time I passed, I got good percentage in my entrance exam. And then I didn't even take different courses. I was just like, okay, special education, because she said it's good for me. So I took the entrance exam in the College of Education, and then I passed special education, and that's it. I didn't even, like, when I was young, I have this love for teaching or something like that. But most of my family members are teachers, like my sister, my aunt, some of my cousins are teachers, but it didn't go to me that, oh, I want to be like them. When I was in college, actually, I just wanted to shift a different course. I wanted to focus more on media and arts. So I was thinking about advertising and stuff. But then at that time, it's a bit expensive course. So I just stayed in special education. And as the course went through, I just love what I'm doing. And I love being with children with autism, with children who are deaf or mute, with children who have Down syndrome. And slowly it became a passion to help those children. And even when I work here, the first part-time job that I did was working with this boy who has autism. And then from then on, I kept working in different schools who has SEN program or special education needs program in the UAE. But yeah, it's not about like, it's a fire on me. It's like I've been dreaming about this when I was young. It just grow deeper as I move along in my course and in my journey as an educator.
Oh, that's amazing. I really loved when you mentioned about that, oh, I don't love it. You know, it's just a choice because it has a lot of money. And it's true, right? Teaching courses in the Philippines, especially when you have passed the licensure examination, gives you a higher grade salary. I definitely
right. And even in the interview, you know, when in every college in West, you have to have, or I'm not sure in your college, but in our college, in College of Education, you will have to go through interview in order for them to accept you. So there's like exam and interview. And I already passed the exam, and then we will go through the interview. And I think it's a panel of professors who were asking, why did you choose SPED? And I was just like, because the salary was big. I was just answering straight to the point because I don't have, like, other teachers or other classmates or batchmates, they were like, oh, because I have a family member who has special needs, or they have like emotional stories of why they became a special education teacher. But for me, like, direct to the point, it's just all about the money and stuff like that. I didn't have like a big suppy backstory or emotional story why did I take special education as a course.
Right. I love it. So one thing that made you stay is because you learned to love it over time, you know. So that's really amazing. Love it. Now, moving forward to the next question. So kind of talk about the education system in Dubai. How do you describe the students there? And I assume that most of the students in Dubai are English speakers, am I correct?
Correct, yeah.
Can you tell me more about the education system? How is it different to other countries?
It depends on which school you are going to enroll. So there are different curriculums here. So you have British curriculum, American curriculum, even Philippine curriculum, Indian curriculum. It depends. So it depends also with your budget. So if you're going to enroll with British curriculum schools here, it would take you like 100,000 to, I think the cheaper one would cost you 150,000 pesos if you convert it in pesos. And the most expensive one for a year would cost you around 1 million pesos for British curriculum schools in Dubai or even different parts of the UAE. But some of the OFWs here, the Filipino community, they opt to enrolling their child in Filipino schools. Other expats here, the Indians, they would enroll their kids in an Indian curriculum school. So it's very diverse. It just depends on your job, your budget, and the education that your child, the education that you wanted to give to your child. So I cannot even say that the British curriculum is better, the American curriculum is better, or the Filipino curriculum is better, because it depends of what is your future goals for your kids.
So it depends on your future goals. It depends on what you want to achieve. And also the personality. I think the personality counts as well. You involve the kid in, you know, many activities, so yeah, there are a lot of differences for sure.
Right.
Since you're teaching there in Dubai, I'm very sure that English is the main medium of instruction. And one of the struggles that you might face, that you usually face, I think almost every teacher will be facing this or is facing right now, is about capturing the attention of students. Especially I'm not sure if you're teaching special differently abled kids right now. Mm-hmm. Are you? Okay. So how do you capture their attention? Especially that you use the English language. I assume it's quite harder, right?
Right. So since I am currently working in a British curriculum school, so I've been working with different British teachers. In the classroom, there's an inclusion. So there are some cases that the child has a different needs. It might have, he or she might have ADHD. He or she might have dyslexia, but they are still included in the classroom. So they're with the other children who doesn't have any difficulties to get their attention. I think it's the struggle as well. Since we are Apple certified school, all the children in our classroom has an iPad. Individually, the child has an iPad for their activities and stuff like that. So it gets more difficult to get their attention. So for example, you're starting your class and then you would see one child would play with his or her iPad and the other child would start drawing with their iPad, and then the other child would say, "Miss, why is he playing with the iPad?" And the other one, "Miss, she's watching a video on the iPad." It's get more and more difficult to get their attention, unlike before without any gadgets in the classroom. So it works when you clap. We have this clap like 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, and then you will easily get their attention. They will follow your clap. Sometimes I just count down 3, 2, 1, eyes on me, look at me, something like that. Or I would just stand and stare at them and wait for them to know that what they are doing something and they're not listening, so that they would go back and I will get their attention. So most of the time, claps really work. Like, and then they will just follow.
All right. Let me make it clear, because something is not clear for me. You mean, for example, they're merged in one classroom, like a person with ADHD and then the other one has dyslexia. Are they merged all together?
Yes. One classroom? Yeah, so what's good in the UAE, because most of the schools have inclusion school, so the kids who doesn't have really most of the classroom, like for example children with autism, if he or she would have problems with behavior, with in terms of learning, the school will tell the parents, oh, your child needs to have a shadow teacher. A shadow teacher is someone that the family or the school will hire so that the child with needs will get the attention or the support that they need in the classroom. So there will be a classroom teacher, which is if you are in a school, it's probably British teachers or from UK, from Ireland, something like that. And then you will have assistant teacher, which what I'm doing right now, I am an assistant teacher in the classroom. And then if there is a child who has needs, here we call the children with special needs, children of determination. So if there's the child of determination in the classroom and it hinders a child to learn, you need to hire someone to be that child one-on-one teacher. So basically there's like three or four teachers in the classroom, and the group of students, it's different as well. Unlike in the Philippines, it would take around 50 or 45 in the classroom. Mm-hmm. In our classroom, it's just maximum of 25 kids. Oh. So the ratio is really good for children and the teacher. And it won't be really hard for the teacher to teach that group of students.
I love the ratio, 1 to 25 students.
That's the maximum.
Yes. Because the more students you have, the harder it is to capture their attention, that's for sure, right? And not only to mention that the technology, just like you told me earlier about the iPads, right? One is watching Cocomelon. Yeah. The other one is playing some games, Subway Surfer. So, yeah, it's double the challenge. But, yeah, at the same time, if you manage to get their attention, I think it's fulfilling.
It gets better. But you feel like it's so hard. Is at the end of the day, it just gets better and better and better. You just have to be optimistic and make your patients longer. For example, you have patients level 40 in a day, you have to stretch it out like 80, 100 because the child or the children would test your patients each and every day.
And you can't even show your face of frustration in your, you know, you can't.
Yes.
No. Or you. You have your face palm, or you don't. You must not have any signs of stressed expression in your face.
Mm-hmm. And like with your words, even you're very frustrated with what the kids are doing, or when you're answering back, you have to be careful with the words that you're saying, because right now I'm teaching year two, which is 6, 7 years old. And then they're copying you. The words that you're saying, they're copying, or worse, they will tell their parents, oh, my teacher said this to me this day. Unlike younger kids, like 4 or 5, you can pretend that it didn't happen. But for them, word by word, I mean, they would tell it to their parents. So you have to be cautious. You have to be careful. And of course, you have to think that whatever you say will have an impact to each and every child in the classroom.
Oh my, that's what I can see. It's very crucial, especially learning stage for 7 and 8 year olds, right? They start to absorb more information. They start to gain more interest. Unlike in 4 or 5 year old, their attention is not that. How would I say it? I don't know, but yeah, it's they have this different kind of attention compared to 7 or 8 year olds, right?
And they became more reasonable. Like, they will answer back. If you told them to do something like this, and they will question you, they will question your authority. Why would they do that? Or they will come up of like thousands of reasons why they did something they're not supposed to do.
Oh, oh my. Very challenging indeed. Wow. Okay, so at this point, I want to know about your first class. Like, what was your first class in Dubai? What did you teach? How was it like? And, you know, what did you realize after that class?
Since I didn't have much experience in classroom settings in the Philippines, because after I finished my board exam, I flew here in Dubai right away. So I'm a fresh graduate. I've been working as a English teacher for Koreans for like, I think, a few months. And then after the results came, I passed the board exam. Then I went here in the UAE because my sister was here before. And at the time, since I don't have any classroom setting, it was my first time to work in a primary school. So the first class that I worked with was FS. So basically FS is foundation stage, which in Philippine curriculum, it's kindergarten. So it's kindergarten 2. I've been working with KG2 or FS2. And it was really good experience because I love kids. I enjoy being with kids. And as I mentioned, I have two other teachers with me. I have a classroom teacher, then I have at the time I was working as a shadow teacher, not even as an assistant teacher. So it was good because I was just focusing on one child, but at the same time I was helping the whole class. And at that time it's just the three of us, but the number of students in the classroom is just 12. So each of us would like three kids, and it's not hard. Every day it's just like you're playing with the kids and you're just having fun. And the people around me, my colleague, my mentors, the management was really good. So I didn't have like a hard time working in a conventional school, even though I don't have any form of experience way back in the Philippines. And it's great. I have learned a lot. I've learned a lot from the people I work with, especially the classroom teacher that I work with, since our curriculum is really different to the British curriculum, how they are teaching maths, how they are teaching phonics, how they are teaching reading. So it's quite different. And every day as a child I'm with is learning, I'm also learning with him. And yeah, until now, if I look back, I'm really grateful for the first job I have here in the UAE.
Wow. And I'm really happy that you're staying there for a long time now. It means that you're really happy with what you're doing. And I'm sure that you'll continue this for the long run. Yeah, that's for sure.
I hope so too.
Okay. So in this podcast, I usually talk about positive things. This time, I want to talk about discussing about something that you regret teaching students. Was there a time that you almost regret teaching kids, almost made you want to give up or something like that? And how did you cope up with it?
I don't think it's a regret. I never had a regret working with the kids because I take this as my learning curve as well. I have frustrations. I have time like, why am I doing this? Why am I mad? Why are the kids aren't listening? Something like that. I have questions, but I don't regret doing what I'm doing. At the end of the day, even though the kids are really hard to work with or to teach, there will be like a silver lining. it's very Miss Universe like, but there's always silver lining at the end of the day. Sometimes they will just hug you, They will make drawings for you. They will make cards for you. And they will say things that you didn't really, you think it doesn't matter. But then sometimes they will just say, oh, thank you for teaching us things like this. Or they will just hug you back then when there's no COVID. So a lot of kids would give you hugs. And that's one thing I miss. Because now in the school, hugs is prohibited. Or hugs are prohibited in the classroom. So we don't get as much hugs as I get before. But yeah, at the end of the day, there will be good things that will happen, even though you started your day awful, you started your day not so quite well. Yeah, I never had regrets or anything.
I love it. the hugs, they're so heartwarming. It's something that you didn't expect. You know? Even though you're frustrated, even though you're sad, you think you didn't do well that day. But at some point, in some way, the kids begin to appreciate you doing all those kinds of things. So, that's fantastic.
This kid has the power, like, they will make your emotions get worse, but then in a snap, they will make it a lot better in just a snap. Like a hug, a smile, or just one word, they make things better after a long day of stress, a long day of difficulties, a long day of problems. And sometimes, like, if you have a headache, and then they will ask you how, they would see, I don't know, they would see if you have problems, and they will ask questions, and you will feel like, oh, they see it, and they care, and it's, it's really cute.
Oh, my. It's heartwarming. I love the experience. Wow. I'm teaching kids as well in an online setting. And yeah, I get to play with them, and they do things out of the blue sometimes, right? They begin to appreciate you. That's what they do to me as well in some cases, for sure. Yeah. Okay. Now, if I were to work as a teacher in Dubai, what are the things that I should anticipate? What are the things that I should know, or the culture, or the customs there? What are the things that I should know about?
Mm-hmm. I think first of all, you will have to manage your expectations, because if you want to be a teacher here, there's like, you can be a teacher here, but then if you work in a Filipino school as a teacher, it's the same amount of money you're earning as an assistant teacher in a British school. So you have to manage your expectations, like with the earnings and your positions, like the need positions, because if you really want to be called a teacher, a classroom teacher, of course, working in a British school is not your choice, because your diploma would not matter in a British school, because they would only accept teachers that has a diploma from UK, some sort of that stuff. But then if you are into the money as well, because the salary as an assistant teacher is the same as a classroom teacher. So it doesn't matter what position you have, what they call your assistant teacher or classroom teacher, as long as you are earning well. One thing as well is that I think, you could call it like racism still exists. Because like, if you're not from this specific country, you don't have this passport from specific country, you would just earn something like this. But if you're from this country, you would probably get the amount like this. So there's like a level. It depends on which country you belong to. How much you would earn.
I'm not sure if I'm going to call it a racism. I think most people would prefer native English speakers over teachers who are in non-native countries.
I think so. Yeah. But it depends. There's some points that you could call it like the choice of the people where they're going to enroll. But then when you're in the work already, when you feel like you're doing the same thing with the native speakers or something, and you would feel like, why I'm not earning like this to them. So you have to manage. That's why I say you have to manage your expectations, because sometimes even though you work the same way of same job, the same effort, but at the end of the day, in the salary day, you would have different salary, even though you work the same thing. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. And it's not just happening in the Philippine. It's not just happening in the Filipino community. It's also happening with other nationalities. So they're also like, I have colleagues from other Gulf countries, from Lebanon, from India, they would feel the same. From Sri Lanka, they would feel the same. Just because you're not from this specific country, you would not earn the same thing to them. And I think it's pretty much normal. I think it's the parents' choice. They enroll their child because they wanted to get the accent or something like that. But of course, when you don't have that, you don't manage your expectation, you would feel bad. And for me, I've been used to it. I've been here for 5 years, and it's just a daily thing here in the UAE. It really depends where you're from. It's not about your diploma sometimes. It's not about your experiences. Sometimes it depends on your passport. But it gets better. It always gets better.
That makes sense, because that is what's really happening, right? The reality, we can call it a reality of the what's happening in the world, right? So yeah, I definitely agree with you about those statements. It might take a long time to eradicate those kinds of things, but we're still doing our best to make the society better. All those
things. Yeah. So, millennials are making things better.
Yeah.
Ulching.
Okay. So I want to know what's next in your life at this point. What would be your long-term goals, your vision? What's next?
That's a great question. Even before I finished university, I really wanted to have my own school. But I don't want to teach in that school, if that makes sense. I want to own it, manage it, manage people. I think I'm more on managing. Teaching, I like it, but the daily chore of preparing the lesson plan, that's what I don't like. Preparing the lesson plan, the visual aids. That's the thing I don't like in teaching. So I felt like it's not for me, but I wanted to have a school for children with special needs, and I think it would be affordable school that those families cannot afford to enroll their child in a special education, because we don't have a lot of special education schools, sped school in, especially in Iloilo City. If we have, it's expensive. Also, the public sped school, they only accept very few students, because of course the classroom is not enough for the number of students who wants to enroll. So that's my vision. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to work with the people I work with, like the British teachers that I work here. I wanted to get in touch with them so that we will still have quality education, and I could get to emerge the students here to students in UK, Ireland, Scotland, so they will have interaction, because we feel like they're sometimes, I think now it's getting better, like white supremacy. So we feel like if they're like white people going to Iloilo or other places, oh, they're white, they're American, they might be rich, they might be. We have this kind of mindset. And I want to take that mindset. I want to give them the experience like, oh, we are all equal. Doesn't matter of your color, doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter of your accent. I want them to emerge so that they don't feel like those people from Europe or America is much better than them compared to the people here. I have this not issue, what they call, like passion, where I want us Filipinos to feel comfortable talking to other nationalities without feeling insecure about ourselves. It still exists, like when you see someone that foreigners in that comes to our city or something, like they would feel like, oh, they are amazing, they're like artists, you know, the starstruck factor. and not gonna lie, I felt that before moving here, before meeting different nationalities, I felt like, oh, they might be very rich, they might be this, they might be blah blah blah. I have this preconceptions of what they're like, but in reality they're just the same with us. Day by day they're just living their life just like us. So that's my end goal. And also probably have school, other businesses, and yeah, connect these kids to emerge in different countries so that they would feel proud of themselves as well.
Yes, I think it's much more possible now because of the advancements of technology,
yes.
Teleconferencing, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's that goal is coming to fruition very soon. So, yeah. Okay.
Inshallah, as they say here.
Yes. Okay. Do you have any advice, pieces of advice to people who might want to be a teacher in Dubai or becoming a teacher one day?
I think if you want to be a teacher, it's a really fulfilling job. It's in the Philippines, it's not on monetary things anymore. It's just all about passion. But then know that when the kids grow up, they remember their teachers, and then you don't know who you can change life. So maybe there's like one of your students might be the next president, might be. So you just have to try to be more inspirational, I think. Someday when you become a teacher, I'm not so close with being inspirational, but then I remember all my teachers who've done a great job in not just teaching, I think, more on listening. So if you want to be a teacher, don't focus more on the academics thing, focus as well in their more morality, focus in their emotional growth, focus in the experiences that you can give to them. And what else? Just do, I think, live each day in teaching, like, because each day is a different day. So if you will caught up with what happened yesterday, you will just have a bad day and you would feel like teaching is not for you. So what happened yesterday, move on, because every day is a new experience in teaching. And yeah, enjoy the journey of teaching.
Very good. Amazing pieces of advice. Love it. Now, one more thing before we end this episode. Where should we follow you on social media? Social media handle.
All right. I have Instagram, but it's more on private account. So I also have Twitter. It's also private. But yeah, it's all at Joanna Hay.
Okay. At Joanna.
Hey. JoWannaHey. Joanna Hay.
Oh, okay. There we go. Joanna Hay. All right. So if you have any questions to all my listeners, if you have any questions about teaching in Dubai, about the system, if there are more questions that we haven't tackled here, or personal questions, you can ask Joanna by reaching her on Instagram, Joanna Hay.
Yes. All right. Thank you so much, Kim, for having me, and God bless with whatever podcast you will feature or whatever topics you will go through in your next episodes of your podcast. And I really appreciate for you for inviting me in this podcast. I'm not really used to this, but then it may you make it more comfortable. We're just having a conversation, and that's
yes,
great.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. Thank you so much as well, Joanna, for being on. It was a fun experience, and yeah, looking for the next one.
All right. See you. Thank you. See ya.
You've reached the end of another episode of Historia. If you like this episode, make sure to follow us on Spotify. Also, check out Historia's social media accounts for more pieces of content. See you in the next one.